You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. That was absolutely pitiful. I came all the way from Jacksonville, Florida to see you on this beautiful day, this magnificent church. And I said, good afternoon. What do I get back in return?
Good afternoon, Father.
You gotta say good afternoon like you really mean it. One more time. That's why we become priests. My name is Father Tony. It's good to be here with you on the celebration of 10th week of Ordinary Time. Ordinary time is a time given to us where we have no theme like Lent, Advent, Easter, or Christmas. A time set aside for us to learn more about God and more about Jesus Christ, more about how they expect us to live our lives here on earth. On Sunday, we come to church. And while you are here, I would ask you to take a couple of minutes to hold up Jesus as a mirror to see how well or how poorly you have modeled him in all of your personal interactions over the past few weeks. He is our model. We're to model his love, his compassion, his kindness, his forgiveness, his prayer life, his relationship to God. Being a Christian is more than spending an hour in the church on the weekend. My dears, this is the easiest part of being a Christian. You come here for an hour, you sit here, you look at the back of somebody's head, you pray a little bit, you sing a little bit, you are blessed to receive Eucharist, and you leave. Your effectiveness as a Christian is determined by how you interact with one another from one weekend to the next. So when you come to church on the weekend, you get readings. From the readings, you get ideas, values, and principles that if you apply to your life in the coming week, will make you more Christ-like than you were last week. And that is our goal, simply is to be Christ-like. So what's the theme of the readings this weekend? Very simply, the ineffable, unexplainable, overwhelming, unearned, undeserved, furious, unconditional love that God has for each of us. I have a little book, a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, and I have it in my suitcase back at the rectory. They have readings every day, so I'm going to read it to you on the phone, then I'm going to close my phone also, like you have yours closed. Here's the reading for yesterday. I am all around you like a cocoon of light. This is Jesus talking to you. I'm all around you like a cocoon of light. My presence with you is a promise, independent of your awareness of me. Many things can block that awareness, but the major culprit is worry. My children tend to accept worry as an inescapable fact of life. However, worry is a form of unbelief. It is anathema to me. Who is in charge of your life? If it is you, then you have good reason to worry. But if it is me, then worry is both unnecessary and counterproductive. When you start to feel anxious about something, relinquish the situation to me. Back off a bit, redirecting your focus to me. I will either take care of the problem myself or show you how to handle it. In this world, you will have problems, but you need not lose sight of me. Now, why in the world would you turn over control of your life to Jesus Christ? Why would you do that? I want you to pay attention to the readings today. First one, Elijah. Prayed to God, child brought back to life. When we hear the readings in Scripture, they're readings, they're stories. I want you to listen to the second story a little bit more effectively. I want you to picture yourself, close your eyes for just a minute, picture yourself in the city of Nain. The cities in those days were all walled in, with one opening where everybody came in and out of the city. You're in that area today. You're doing your shopping. That's where all the vendors are. And you're walking around shopping, and you've heard stories about this guy, Jesus. And you heard he was coming to Nain today. You're kind of excited about hearing him. You've heard all kinds of stuff, good stuff, crazy stuff, raising people's dead, yelling at the Pharisees. But you don't know. You've never seen him. All of a sudden, you see about 200 or 300 people coming through the main gate. And you look up, And there's something different about this crowd. They're not noisy or boisterous. They're very reverent and quiet. It's shocking. You've never seen a crowd like that big, so quiet and reverent. And then you're looking and say, that must be Jesus. Then all of a sudden you see, there he is. And you get the first glimpse of him. And you think, oh, wow, look at him. There's something about this man. There's an aura about him. I've never seen anything like that in anybody. And you're impressed with the crowd and with Jesus and the orderliness of the crowd and the reverence. All of a sudden, on the right-hand side, you hear another crowd. Look over, they're all dressed in black, and they're wailing and crying and screaming. Wow, what a difference between this crowd and that crowd. And then you notice there's a widow. She's sobbing. She's lost her only son. And then you're looking over here. You see Jesus. He notices them. And he leans down and says something to one of his people. Then he starts walking across through all the vendors over toward the widow. He walks up to her. He says, do not weep. Take your hand. Do not weep. Then he tells them to put the casket down. Opens the lid. Son, come out. And he helps the boy out of the casket. And he gives the hand to the mother and gives her a hug. Now, would you be impressed? Of course you would. Do you think any problem in your life is too big for Jesus Christ? No. If he could do that, I don't care what your problems are. Nothing's too big for him to handle. The idea that God turns his back on us when we sin is not true. God loves us 100%, 100% of the time. May not like our behavior, but he always loves us. Always loves us. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more or love you less. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who loves us the same way. So if you have sinned, if you'd be gone for a while, and you turn back, he does not berate you. He says, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Jesus came to be the light in the world of the darkness of sin. He's no longer with us physically. But tell me, who is it that's supposed to be the light of Christ today? Take a wild guess. Who? All of us are to be the light of Christ. And if that's true, and it is, a question for you. What kind of a light are you? Are you a 10-watt bulb? Maybe a 40-watt bulb? Maybe a 75-watt bulb, maybe a 100-watt bulb. 100-watt bulbs are those people whose mind, soul, body, and spirit are connected to Jesus Christ every day, all day. And when you see them, you see the sense of joy on their face. Doesn't matter about the circumstances where they are. If you even talk to them, they have it, and you see it on them, and you know it. You know it. How do you get to be that way? Spend more time in prayer. How much time do you spend in the evening watching television? Turn it off for an hour or so. Spend more time in prayer. Inspirational reading. There's tons of books that are inspirational to read. You become what you fill your mind with. Fill with the garbage on television, garbage comes out. Spend more time in prayer. Learn about meditation. You can do it anywhere. Read inspirational books. Come to church more often. Be more attentive. You've got a beautiful little chapel back there. Go back there and spend some time with Jesus Christ. Just meditate. Think about it. Practice the presence of Jesus every day in your life. If you woke up tomorrow morning and got dressed and walked out the front porch, and Jesus was physically standing next to you, with the beard, the hair, the white robe, Jesus up here in gold letters, real gold, he's Jesus, says, guess what? I'm going to be with you all day today, right here alongside of you. But I have laryngitis. I can't talk. I'm going to ask you to speak for me, to represent me to everybody we meet today. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to do. If you have any problems at all, turn to me. Now, here's the question. Do you think your behavior and attitude will be different tomorrow than it is today? All the wives are poking their husbands. See? Of course it would. Of course it would. How would you respond to everybody that came into your life? With kindness, with love, joy, right? Would you worry about anything? No. Not at all. If he's next to you, no, you wouldn't worry about anything. Worry is an insult to Jesus. What you're saying is this: I don't think you care enough about me to be concerned to have a problem. And secondly, I don't think you have the power to fix it. So I choose to worry. You choose where you want to live, faith or worry. Either Jesus is who he says that he is, or he's a liar. Either you believe it or you don't. It's Jesus raised this young man, the same one that's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You think your problems are too big for him? Spend some time with him. Practice his presence. You become like the people you hang out with. You hang out with people who gossip, you gossip. People that cuss, you cuss. People that drink, you drink. You hang out with Jesus, you simply become more Christ-like. You don't have to change nothing. St. Paul says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're changed from the inside out. The relationship changes you. And all of a sudden, you change. The behaviors you had before disappear. You simply become more Christ-like. And when you do, you will all be 100-watt bulbs, and Father will no longer have to turn on the lights in church. Amen. You hear an amen?
Amen.
Very good. I thought I was going to have to bring some Baptists in. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about Food for the Poor. Food for the Poor is the largest international charitable organization in the United States. Last year, we shipped about $1 billion worth of aid into Jamaica, Haiti, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras, Dominican Republic. Most importantly, when you donate to a charitable organization, you need to find out what percentage of what's donated goes to the people, what percentage goes to expenses. Last year, all of our expenses, everything, less than 5%, which means that more than 95% of everything that's donated goes to the people. So what do? We go to the missionaries in those countries. What do you need to help the people help themselves? And that's what we do. There's no government involvement on that end or on this end, because when the government gets involved, nothing happens. I do this 44 weekends a year. Go to a different church every weekend all over the United States, California to Maine. In addition, I lead personally 2 mission trips every year, to Haiti and Jamaica. About 3 weeks ago, I came back from Haiti. Had 17 people, went down for a week. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere of the world. Have you ever been, how many have been to San Francisco? Every time you go to San Francisco, it's like a first time. It never gets old. It's always charming and beautiful and fun and gorgeous. Haiti's the same way, in a negative sense. I've been there many, many, many times. This past time, I thought, well, Tony, it's not going to be so bad this time because you've been there so many times. That's wrong. Every time is like the first time. It wounds my soul to go there and see how these people live. All you children, pay attention. If you lived in Haiti, this is how you'd live. They live in tin shacks, cardboard shacks, plywood shacks, tar paper shacks, cinder block shacks, inside mud floors, no water, no electricity, no toilets. Children don't go to school because there is no school. The children have never slept in a bed. The children have never used a toilet. The children have never worn a new piece of clothing. Everything they wore has been worn by someone else and donated. You can put all the names on the shirts. The children don't have to worry about what they're going to wear tomorrow. They wear the same clothes they wore today because they're the only clothes they got. Children have never ridden in a car. They've never seen a TV. They have no idea what a computer is. Teenagers are not running around texting on the phones because they've never seen a phone. If I gave them a phone, they wouldn't know what to do with it. It wounds your soul. What do? We build houses for these people, concrete houses that are impervious to hurricanes and earthquakes. We build schools. 85 to 90% of children in Haiti do not go to school. We build schools so the children can be educated. Water. Any one of you, any time of the day or night, can get up and get a drink of water. Not so there. You have to walk miles to bring water back to their families. We put in wells. People have access to water. We use solar-powered water systems in big communities that develop 10,000 gallons of fresh water a day. And for the first time in their life, they can take a fresh water bath. A shower, get water to drink, whatever they wanted. Fishing villages, where the communities are on the coast in northern Haiti. We bring in boats, motors, and nets, teach them how to deep sea fish, and get big fish. We arrange for them to sell the fish at market price, and the village comes alive because there's an income. The women, we teach how to do hair, how to sew. We have a farm we've had in Haiti for 25 years. We know what grows easily there, what doesn't. We give the women seeds and teach them how to grow food for their families. Not only do we take care of their needs now, but also to help them become self-sufficient, and mostly to educate the children. They know there's another life beside what they have in Haiti. For many, many years, somebody gave me a phrase many, many years ago. It says, I am not alone. God is in control. Something good will come out of this. Think of the mother, that boy that died. You said that to her a day ago? What do you think she'd say? Right. Here you are. The son's given back to her. In Haiti, we met a young man named Wilfred. Wilfred's about 40 years old now. As you all know, in January of 2010, an earthquake decimated Port-au-Prince. Wilfred lived there. He was a welder. He was one of the few people in Haiti that had a job, 37 years old. He woke up 2 days later in a hospital. His left leg was missing from here down. No left leg. He's out of business. He can't work. He can't walk. He can't do anything. If I went to him that day and said, Wilfred, I'm not alone. God is in control. Something good. He would have hit me with a bedpan. Right? Today, 3 weeks ago, on top of a hospital, Quonset Hut, about 20 yards wide, 40 yards deep. We walked in, 17 of us. Wilfred is there now, 40 years old. He smiles. He lights up the whole place with his smile. You talk about the light of Christ. The light of Christ shines brightly through this young man. And the first thing he shows you is his new leg, how he can dance with it, how he can walk with it, how he can walk around with his new, he's so proud of his new leg. What does he do for a hobby? He coaches soccer teams for children who have lost legs. What does he do for a living? He makes prosthetics, legs and arms, for children who have lost legs and arms in Haiti in the earthquake. That's what he does for a living. Ha! I'm not alone. God is in control. Something good will come out of this. This man, young man, is so inspirational. You just immediately fall in love with his joy. Why would you turn your life over to Jesus Christ? That's why. Whenever you have a problem, an issue to deal with, what do? Talk to your friends, family, get on the internet? No. Sit down. Pray. Turn to you. And then listen. People tell me all the time, Father, God never talks to me. Jesus never talks to me. When do you ever stop babbling and listen? God gave us two ears and one mouth. I think that's a hint. Pray, listen, plan, act. That's what Wilford did. And now he's filled with joy. So my dears, we work in Haiti and all the other countries. We need your help. We do not take up a collection. In your pews, you'll find these brochures for food for the poor. I'd like you to open them up for a minute, please. Take a look at them. They're on the end of all the pews. Pass them in. Everybody take a look at them. Open them up. Look up here for just a minute. The back two pages tear off. Make an envelope that's addressed and stamped. We ask you to take these home with you. Pray about the blessings in your life. Help us help the people have a better life. I can hear you now. Well, Father, you know, gas keeps going up, clothes keep going up, food keeps going up. We're not sure about our economy, about our job, by anything. I understand, but pay attention. It doesn't take much. $21. $21 will feed 325 children. One meal of rice and beans. $21. Mm-hmm. $10. $10. We all go to McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, pizza places, $10. Nothing. We're spending $10 on food for an evening. $10. Buy one meal of rice and beans for like 175 children. Walmart. Y'all go to Walmart? We love Walmart. My favorite sign. Isn't it funny how small $20 look when you walk into Walmart and how big $20 look when you walk into church? Mm-hmm. You walk into Walmart with $20, say, honey, I can't buy nothing. You walk into church with $20, who's got change? God forbid you put a whole 20 in that collection, for goodness sakes. $50. Provide nutritional care for a child who's malnourished. 25 to 30% of the children in Haiti have red hair. Why? Because they're malnourished. $50 to an orphanage to help the child get better. $205 moves a water pump into a village. The teenage girls won't have to walk so far to get the water. And $3,200 to build a house. How can a house for $3,200 be important? When I go to Jamaica, we build houses. When I was there last time, a lady named Beverly. While we're building her house, I said, Beverly, where do you live now? She said, come here, Father, I'll show you. Oh, here's this ugly, rusty tin shack. The front door is a piece of tin on a piece of cloth. When you open it up and look inside, there's a queen-size mattress on cinder blocks on a mud floor, and the tin shack is the same size as the mattress, so when you open the door, you're in bed. The three children, 14-year-old boy, 12-year-old girl, 6-year-old girl, hang their clothes on hooks inside the tin shack because that's all they've got, and they have been there 5 years waiting for a house. A new house, concrete slab, louvered windows, front door and back door locked, front porch, three rooms inside, loft upstairs, a small room for toilet, shower, and sink, and a fully operational toilet outside. They can move inside as soon as they get water inside. The palace. We finish the house, we get them all together, we bless the family, we bless the people, we give them a Bible we've all signed. And the neighbors all come out and everybody's hugging and crying. It's a wonderful thing. And the 14-year-old boy walks over to me, tear coming down his cheek. He says, Father, thank you. For the first time in my life, I can invite my friends to my home. That's why I do what I do. $3,200. Changes the life of family. Many of you have utility rooms in your backyard that cost that much money. You put your lawnmowers in. So my dears, pray about it. Take your checks made out to Food for the Poor. Put them in the envelope. If you use cash, please give us your name and address so we can acknowledge this gift. If you want to use a credit card, you can use that on the back side here. If you want to think about going on a mission trip, and you all need to do that someday, change your life. Change your life. Check mark here at the bottom in the purple part. We'll send you all the information about mission trips. And if you want to go with me, why would you not want to go with me, for goodness sakes? Put Father Tony on the side over here, or see me at the end of Mass at the back of church. And the next one is in October to Jamaica. And then again in April to Haiti. Might be another one to Haiti also. So, take down both home with you. Pray about the blessings in your life. Help us help the people have a better life. And I warn you now, if you try to leave this church without two or three envelopes on your person, a very loud, annoying buzzer will go off at the door. And you'll be embarrassed in front of the entire church community. Now, I see a lot of you looking at your watches. Want to know how long is this idiot going to talk? Well, this idiot is through. But I feel sorry for you to get me when I come back from my mission trips, because I'm all fired up. I know these people's names. I know their face. I have a great affection for them. I want you to feel about them the same way I do. I'm Italian. I get passionate about this. Sometimes I talk a little longer than I should. So if you're upset because I talk too long, get over it. Thank you all very much. God bless your families. Amen.